Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Welcome back. We've had 2 months of vacay.
Not exactly full 2 months of vacay, solid, right?
Okay, well, I've had a lot of fun.
We have had
happy
a lot of fun.
To be back in America.
It's been awesome.
A lot of travels and adventures as a family.
And even good to kind of be off this a little bit. Get a little space and some time to reflect. And we're excited to be back.
Yeah, so hope you guys have enjoyed the top 10 episodes that we've republished. I have a question for you as we start this episode.
Bring it.
Have you ever had a time in your life when you realized you didn't feel like talking to people?
Yeah. You mean like outside of this last week? Yes. Yes. I think that is kind of a consequence of our job sometimes. It's an occupational hazard that I think we can get inundated and overwhelmed, especially living in the place that we do. And sometimes you want to check out.
Yeah.
You want to just shut the door and retreat.
Yeah. Well, I asked because we returned back to the States for our stateside in June, and we've been on the field 19 years, serving in South Asia, just finished our fifth term. So this is our fifth time to come on a stateside or a furlough. And I was really noticing since we've been back a lack of friendliness in me, even compared to nice, friendly Midwesterners all around me, and a bit of a lack of a desire to just engage and enjoy people. Which, thank you so much, Lord. I feel God restoring that in me now, a couple months later.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that, actually.
Can you tell it's getting
just
better, though?
Just kidding. Yeah, of course. Of course.
So we're going to talk about what is a furlough, what is a stateside, whatever word you want to use for it.
Yeah, I think furlough is probably the more maybe generally known word. I know we in our family, in our organization, we refer to it as stateside or STAS. Or if you're from Chicago, STAS.
Yes.
Some people say STAS, which is obviously wrong.
So but we say STAS. But if you're a missionary who is European, you would not call it a stateside.
No, that's true.
You would call it a Europe side.
Would you? Do you think they would?
So what is a furlough
or
a stateside?
Yeah, it's an extended time back in the States in one's home or passport country at regular intervals over the course of your career as a missionary. So ours have been usually about every 3 to 3.5 years.
In general, 3 years on the field, 6 months back.
Yeah,
kind
roughly.
Of an approximate.
Yep.
So is stateside just a paid vacation? Like missionaries have it so good.
You just said we've been on vacation for 2 months.
We get to come back and just kick it up for 6 months.
Who wouldn't want a 6 month vacation?
While the rest of the world just keeps plugging away.
That's what we do. It is not. You know, we've come to really see it as a gift that is a break from our normal way of living and our normal way of doing ministry. We have also found that it's usually a much needed one. It is a combination once you're back here of work. We keep up with the work that's going on over there. We keep up with our teammates. We have regular calls with them. Obviously not as regular as if we were still there. If they're listening and they're like, actually, we haven't heard from you in quite a while.
Right.
Yes, much less regularly than if we're actually there, but we do stay engaged with that. We spend a lot of time connecting with our partners here in the States and trying to invest here, trying to mobilize people to go to the field. And then, we do get time to take breaks. We get time to be with our family, all of which are very important for us and for our kids.
Back. The longer I'm on the field, the less I feel any shame over having a break. God's grace is sufficient for whatever your life requires. So Adoniram Judson didn't get statesides or furloughs, and God's grace was enough for him, right? Like the previous missionaries.
But what if he had?
Right. Honestly. But what I'm saying is I don't take for granted as much that I can just serve for years and years and years more because I do see how I get fatigued. And I'm really thankful for a chance to get a break from cross-cultural life. We don't deserve it. And if we didn't have it, God would be, he would give us enough grace, but I'm very thankful for it.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that there's tons of research. This is a bit, you know, self-serving, but there is tons of research out there that shows all of the stress that's added by living in a cross-cultural situation and then doing the work that we're called to do, which is arguably, humanly speaking, the most difficult work in the world, to take people who are non-Christians and see them become saved and then see them raised up to become leaders in their churches and to take over everything that we would want them to do. Again, humanly speaking, utterly impossible. And so just to face that day in and day out. And I think it's the, you know, the being far away, the cross-cultural realities that do kind of distinguish it a little bit from doing ministry in your home context.
Right.
Right. That I right. do think gives some justification. Now, we're not arguing for, hey, you need to take 6 months, not arguing even for any particular length of stateside. A lot of people do, they come back and do much shorter ones, like 2 months, and then they're back to the field, maybe spend a little shorter time. So all kinds of ways that you can manage that as a family, that as you seek the Lord's wisdom on those things. But we've often made the comparison over the years that if you were to look into the world of work for the nearest comparison to what we do, it's probably the military and being deployed overseas as families, but also, you know, really strongly engaged in the midst of really difficult work and oftentimes as a whole family.
Right.
So I think just recognizing that reality gives a little bit more rationale to why a stateside is so important.
Yeah. So all the listeners should go read the book Fearless to hear an amazing story about a Navy SEAL who has an amazing testimony. So parents of kids, it is a great story to read together as a family.
It's a good one.
It will encourage you. But
just thought we'd throw that in there.
People in the military have times when they come back home and they're with their family.
Yep.
And military leaders see the value of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they even notice when soldiers are getting fatigued.
Right.
And they'll tell them, you got to come get a break.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing okay. And we value your wife and children at home. We want you to go home and connect with them.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful. I think our organization has wisdom because they actually require us to have statesides at some point.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a wisdom to it.
Definitely. And not just wisdom. I think there is a biblical basis as well. As you guys know, if you listen to this podcast at all, then we're always trying to base everything that we do in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I think you see the pattern of returning to the place that they were sent out from, beginning with Paul and Barnabas sent out from Antioch. They return there after the first and second journeys to celebrate what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt, I think just to have fellowship with their church family as well. It doesn't talk a lot about what they do when they're in Antioch, but just knowing throughout the entire New Testament what church life was and what it was supposed to be like, that they loved and cared for one another. Undoubtedly, there was fatigue that they were dealing with as well. So just that rhythm and that pattern of returning to the place that you've been sent out from, A, to lift up what God has done, to exalt his work among the nations, and then also to receive care from your people that have sent you out and that love you and that support you. And then I think it also honors the overall biblical pattern of itinerancy and missions. This is something that we see, really the only pattern of missions that we see in the New Testament is moving from place to place, investing yourself, somewhat ironically enough, 1.5, 2 to 3 year kind of missionary journeys that they would then return from and have some time back in their sending church that to then after that go back out again. So I think that that fundamental kind of itinerancy that we see at work in the pattern of frontier missions in the New Testament, I think this is also a way to honor that, that we wouldn't become the solution. We wouldn't become sort of the anchor to any particular work that we're investing in overseas.
That's good. Yeah, the statesides are a mini exit where
That's
all
right.
of our partners get to practice us not being there.
That's right.
And usually find that they don't need us.
That's right.
We always notice that because everybody does better when we're gone, it seems like.
Yeah. I don't know if that's us, but hey, that's how it is. But it is, I mean, that's actively what we're working for. We often have said sometimes the greatest gift that we can give to our partners and even to our teammates is our absence.
Yeah.
Especially if we've been there for a long time, if we have taken a lot of influence and a lot of initiative, for us to be withdrawn from that situation can be a real blessing to the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So purposes of a furlough,
mm-hmm.
I think we've named four. One is that healthy absence from the field to give our partners and teammates just a real chance to rise up and own the work in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, to, like we saw in the biblical pattern, return to our home churches and share with them what God is doing.
Yeah.
And that's a whole category of also mobilizing and educating the church on missions and things like that. And then third, to get restoration and rest that we need. We need to be filled back up. We need a break from the cross-cultural life and ministry. And then fourth, I think reconnecting with family is very important.
Yeah.
It is something we knowingly are sacrificing as we go into this calling. However, it is a gift when we get to come back and have a chance to strengthen family relationships, serve and love aging parents.
Yeah.
Many times God has a reason for us to be back. There are things happening in our families that we get to be here for, And there is a New Testament principle of believers care for their relatives and their families. So I think that is a valid priority and would even encourage listeners in that it's a gift we give to our children to give them an opportunity to know their grandparents and their aunts and uncles and their cousins, because we don't know that our kids will live overseas their whole lives. They will probably live in America at some point, and it is better for them if they have good family relationships for when they go to college or whatever that would look like for them.
That's right. No doubt. And again, if we didn't have the opportunity to come back as frequently as we do, if we didn't have access to things like Skype and online video calls and things so that they could stay connected to their family here, the Lord's grace would be enough. It was at the beginnings of the modern missionary movement for people to be able to live that way and to sustain themselves that way. His grace would be enough. But we also are incredibly thankful that His grace now also extends to those things and allows us that opportunity as a family.
Right. Good.
Good.
So Stas does seem to have some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
We are weird when we come back to America. Because
speak for yourself.
Well, we're weird in so many ways.
Yes, it's true.
We're weird because we don't have a 9-to-5 job.
Yep.
We feel weird a lot because, I mean, we can come back and look like everybody else, but the longer you serve overseas, the less like everyone else you feel and function in life. Living in a foreign country changes you.
Yeah.
It does. I think differently now,
no doubt.
20 years later. I drive differently. I have different expectations when I'm shopping and all this. So what would you say are some of the biggest challenges that you face or you've seen other coworkers face for statesides?
Well, I think to that very point, we talk a lot about like reverse culture shock. I think when you come back, every time we've come back, there's been something that it seems to kind of focus our attention on, wow, things have really changed. It seems like that sort of centers the amount of change that has happened. And it seems like that's only accelerated. More and more change is happening.
In American culture.
Yeah, in American culture when we come back. But I think the reverse culture shock, a lot of times, especially I think in the beginning of our missionary career, that would manifest itself in some critique of the church. I think one of the places we felt the most culture shock was coming back and going to church. You know, after having done house church in another language in very, very simple settings.
Or you're sitting on the floor
and
then, you don't have AC and you have your head covered with a shawl.
Yeah. And then to see and know like what some of our partners have gone through and what they're suffering for the sake of the gospel, it's easy to be critical when you come back. And I think a lot of people fall into that. I know that we've had periods when we've done that, but I do feel over time that the Lord has given us grace as we have recognized our own failings and our own hypocrisies in the midst of ministry, both here and there.
Yeah.
I think the Lord's been good to give us grace and increase and restore our love for the American church as well.
Yeah.
And to recognize, I mean, this is our heritage. This is the church that we came out
of. That's right.
And we're not going to despise our birthright by now talking about how bad it is. I mean, we came out of this as well. So we think more and more we're able to just acknowledge and give thanks to God for what we came out of. But I do think a lot of people struggle with that.
We did struggle with it more. I think now it's easier for us to just be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I think we can bring something here, a reminder of what most Christians in the world, how they live and worship. And so it isn't like we just only want to be thankful and never, ever have a critique.
Sure.
There is something to ask about, is the purpose of this service to entertain me or to meet with God sometimes in American church services where you've got lights and fog and huge bands and big screens and man, if you're a missionary, you've been overseas, you know what I'm talking about. You come back and you're like, whoa. And you're either like, this is so amazing, and you're crying and meeting with the Lord, or you're like,
what
is—
Which we have done in those services, for sure.
Yeah, I just did, like a month ago. Or you're just like, these people are so materialistic, and this is so much— Is it a concert? Are we just watching these people on the stage? And so we have to really take that to the Lord, have Him shepherd our hearts. And but a very wise missionary leader, the first time I came back from the States and experienced reverse culture shock, he told me, you cannot live in reverse culture shock. You move through it and you adjust back. And that was really helpful.
Yeah.
We don't punish our home country brothers and sisters for not having had the same experience as us. And so he moved through it.
That's right. You moved through it. And I think while being kind of salt and light along the way, just like you said, you know, it's not like we just now, because we want to be totally gracious, uncritically accept everything from the church. No, we're also a part of leading the churches that we come from and the churches that we're connected to, leading them and helping to clarify for them what does the Great Commission work look like for us here and what does it look like to join us overseas, right? So we're constantly calling people out. Hopefully there's opportunities for us to join alongside of those churches as well and to help them deepen in their discipleship or their outreach. Yeah. We've found, I think, more and more over the years that things that we're doing overseas increasingly apply here as well. Just some of the simple tools that we would use for like evangelism or for discipleship, I think there's just a lot more crossover. We had teams come out this summer, college teams, a bunch that were in our city. And the gospel tool that we use is a little cool like wristband, one of these rubber wristbands that I'm wearing right now that goes through creation of Christ. And we've had several requests for people to go back and to adapt those and use those in their own ministry as well. So just that opportunity too for us to be engaged in the work here as well.
And we're thankful for good biblical teaching and worship in English and just the comfort of being around people who are like you. So it is a gift. Okay, I think one of the biggest challenges revolves around money when we come back on stateside. Many different ways this happens. One is just sticker shock because unless you serve like in Europe, I don't know, a few places in the world, many of us serve in places that are not as expensive as America. And so to adjust back to American prices, which are also only increasing, is a little difficult. We're not like rolling in the dough. So to want to go out to eat as much as we did in our field city is like impossible.
Yeah.
So just having to manage that and adjust back to American prices. We are homeless. You know, we don't have homes. We don't have cars. And so we have to figure all that out, which many of us are able to stay in missions houses. And we are so, so thankful for generous people who sometimes will let us use their car, which we have this time. And that is a huge gift. But there's just a lot wrapped around finances when you come back.
Yeah, that's right. I think some of the struggles practically that you mentioned, but also the temptations associated with money and finance as well. Mm-hmm. I think that this is a big heart issue that comes up with people who come back. I know that this is something we've talked about a lot over the years, is just to see, you know, people that you grew up with or people that you knew doing really well financially, living at different standards than, you know, we have access to because we're back and doing these things. And that can just mess with your heart. You know, you can start being sort of drawn into those things, start questioning even some of your calling, like, did we make the right choice? Am I taking care of my family well? And some of it's just really fleshly, like, wow, what if I could do that? Or what if I had the means to be able to do these different things? So I think that that's something that like the enemy uses to toy with us and to to try to unsettle us, even in our calling as well, is to say, man, look what you could have. Look what you could have been doing, you could have been earning, something like that. So there's just a lot tied around that idea of money, possessions, the world. I think there's always a time, maybe when we first get back, that I think this is true for me, this would probably apply to food and to eating out and money and things like that, where it's just like, man, I want to go all in. You know, I want to just have all the experiences and kind of blow it out. And then thankfully the Lord over time kind of extracts me from that worldliness, from that fleshiness to remind me, man, this is not going to satisfy
us. It doesn't
fill us up. This is not what it's about.
And kind of a sad thing about human nature is we get used to all the good things and they get less exciting. No matter what you're doing, where you're at, something that's wonderful and new because you haven't had it for a while, we get used to it.
Yeah.
So 2 months in, I mean, sure, I'm happy to have beef, but I'm not like as thrilled as I was 2 months ago.
Sure.
And thankfully, our Amazon shopping has decreased a tiny bit by now.
Yes.
But side note, this morning I listened to a sermon by John Piper in which he called shopping planned coveting. Where he's like, all you do, if you're just like shopping to look at stuff, you're just going for planned coveting.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I
good old
really
Johnny
resonated
Pipe.
With that. Yeah. You just find all the stuff you suddenly really want.
He'll bring it. You know, you think that you're comfortable and you're just doing okay, just go listen to a John Piper sermon. Another challenge, I think, for people is community when you come back. Just friendship, even, you know, maybe reengaging with your church community. It can be really difficult. The longer we're on the field, the less connected I think we could feel when we're back, especially with, you know, maybe relationships or churches that we've had a long-standing relationship with. There can be a lot of transition. you know, pastors can leave. The mission pastor that was there that was really invested in and part of our work, he could leave and things could change at the churches. It can be difficult. And I think especially if you don't go back to the same place every time, right? A lot of times because of the issues that we talked about of trying to find a place, people have to kind of shift around stateside by stateside. And so there's not really a stable place for them to go back to. That also just adds another element of difficulty to maintaining relationships.
Yeah. So depending on if you are in a new place where you don't have old friends, and there's also sometimes less energy to invest in new friendships because, for instance, we came back on the stateside feeling a lot of fatigue, and that extends into social fatigue.
Yeah.
Our kids also were saying things like, what's the point of making friends with my teammates? We're just leaving in 3 months.
Yeah, it was a heartbreaker.
And that's how we can feel sometimes. I don't have a lot of energy to try to get new best friends, you know, or even decent friends, just to be honest. Yeah. So one thing that has helped us, everyone has to figure this out for themselves. In our first statesides back, we tried to connect with everyone because we hadn't been gone as long, right? We'd only been gone 3 years, not 19. So we tried to reconnect with everyone. And then you end up spending your statesides seeing all of your friends like once or twice each.
If that
now, we don't do that at all. Like the friend circle is tiny. And we spend more time with less people and more time with family.
With family, yeah.
So that's just what we've decided. And that's been good because we do have friends, thank you, Lord, that we can be fully honest with. And there's a goodness to having friends who aren't missionaries or who aren't in your organization because they can listen and you can talk really honestly and it keeps you connected with just normal people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Out of the missionary bubble.
Yeah. And it can help you just see kind of how weird some of the things that we go through are.
Right.
And
or
just give it some
or you stop thinking that American life is perfect.
That too.
And you see the challenges that Americans face.
One more challenge that we see people face on stateside is how to use your time well. Like we said, it's not a full-on vacation the entire time.
No.
And nor should it be.
Right.
Right. And so, but I do think because you don't have a 9-to-5, because there isn't a regular rhythm, because you are disconnected from the work on the field, it can just be hard to figure out how do I use my time? What am I supposed to get up and do
in
9-to-5? What am I supposed to focus on? And so I think that that can lead to actually becoming over busy because I think that you feel like you have to fill all of your time. Mm-hmm. You might even feel sort of this sneaking, unspoken guilt about the fact that you are here and maybe maybe you're perceiving that other people are looking at you and saying like, what is this
what
guy
are you doing?
Doing
all day? Yeah.
It literally looks like he's on vacation. You know, things you do hear little comments along the way from people.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That will make you really self-conscious.
Must be nice to have vacay.
Yeah, exactly.
Wish I could have that much time off.
So depending on how you're wired, that can actually lead you to just try to overschedule and to say, man, I'm going to prove that this is worth it. I'm going to make the most of this. And we have found, I think over time, that probably most of our coworkers are more prone to that mistake than to the other,
than
being
to get
too
restored,
idle.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they can sometimes come back to the field not really feeling restored.
That's right.
And that's not wise.
Yeah. It's because between I got to connect with all these churches, I've got to see all these friends and family, all these things. It's just, you kind of run yourself ragged.
You don't have a break. Yeah.
And we've done that. I mean, and we've, I think in our first sort of statesides, I think we maybe tended more
that
way.
More. It's easy to.
It is.
I mean, the schedules fill up unless you're very, very intentional. It is very rare to have anyone to pass your field leadership off to.
Mm.
So that is a big challenge when you have all these people on the field who you are their supervisor and there's no one else that's going to do that in your absence. So we try our best to help our teammates have like realistic expectations that allow us to get a little break, but also we do want to stay connected to the field. It's healthy to stay connected and we want to do our job well. So that can be a challenge. Obviously, they're in different time zones and so you're trying to schedule only in mornings and evenings and all that.
Right.
Boo-hoo for us. Those are all of our hard things we have to
manage.
It's
terrible to be in the U.S. for 6 months. How do we do it? We have some tips, though, for how to use your stateside time well.
Yeah. Okay. A few things we've learned. This is our fifth one. Mm-hmm. So I think we have learned a few things.
Pretty much experts at this point.
I think we're crushing it.
We're
actually.
Are we? All right. Number one, I'd say we would just advise anyone to evaluate your current overall health, your spiritual outlook, your sense of calling, how you feel like your family is doing. And where's your motivation level, your fervor, zeal for the Lord?
Yeah. Before you can make priorities for your stateside, you have to be honest about how you're doing. Mm. And there is a part of us that thinks that's selfish and self-centered. And so we tend to ignore if we're feeling tired. We don't deserve a break. We should keep going. All these things enter our head, at least our personality. Some listeners may not deal with that. But the wise thing to do is to be honest and realistic about how you're doing. And I think the norm for most missionaries is to either be fatigued, mm-hmm. unhealthy, stressed, maybe on the way to burnout. I'm not saying all missionaries are serving on the field in an unhealthy way. I'm just saying there's a rhythm to our lives there. Mm. And usually by the end of a term of service, we need a break.
Yeah.
Now, every stateside is different. Every circumstance is different. There have been some where we came home limping, mm-hmm. where we came home filled with grief,
yeah.
where we came home with medical issues, like physical needs. So every person is going to have different needs, but it's important to be honest and evaluate that. And you might have to do that, like, you know, your last month on the field, you're noticing, how am I doing? Mm-hmm. Gosh, I feel like I really have less patience, or I really have less excitement for the work. You might be noticing those things. But also, many times we don't realize the stress that we're carrying until we get out of it.
Yep.
And so you have to reevaluate that after being in your home country again for 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
Because by then, you're realizing and you're seeing the contrast. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, life over there was so all-encompassing, and now I'm starting to breathe. And our first stateside at our debriefing conference that our organization provides, Mark and Linda, very wise member care couple, gave an illustration that I've never forgotten because it is so true and explains what we have to do when we return to the States, when we come back with all of this stress that has built up that God gives us grace for on the field. And so you start not noticing it. You're carrying it and you don't realize it. But when you get back to the States or your home country, it's like you're carrying an invisible backpack that is filled with rocks.
Yeah.
And you've just carried it around so long, you don't even notice. The problem is you can't just get back to your home country and take it off,
right,
and then just be happy and stress-free. The only way is to take out each rock one by one, and it takes time. And that resonates with me so much, that there's just something about time that is needed for our bodies and minds and spirits to be restored.
Mm-hmm.
But God does that. God does it, plus wise habits do it. And we need to know what we need, be honest about it, and seize the opportunity to get it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, us both being country people, I think that living in the city, it would, I think, for anybody, the city that we live in, but it just takes a toll, you know, and we notice that after a while. And so a lot of restoration and just being able to get outside, being able to enjoy sunsets and nice weather and nature. And those are things that are hugely restorative for us.
Yep.
And so taking advantage of those things while we're here and recognizing the healing that's in that the Lord, I think, has put there for us. So I think just to be honest about where you are, seek outside counsel as well. We would definitely recommend getting some counseling while you're back in the States, or just sitting down with trusted, maybe even leaders from your church who know you and can see and identify things in you.
Yeah.
And say, hey, you know, I see this. We have to be proactive and actually work on ourselves, like work on our hearts, recognize that there's some restoration that needs to happen there, but also to be proactive about, man, how can I build it back up?
Yeah. So I think being thoughtful about the activities that actually restore you, because sometimes vacations do not restore us.
Yeah.
Sometimes they are go, go, go. But at the same time, adventure can be restoring and seeing new places can be. But most of us need some slower pace, some time outside, and more time with the Lord. That's very, very helpful to have long quiet times, long walks, time to slow down as a family. And you have to do this for every one of your children also.
Yeah, that's a really important
point. Every kid has their own unique needs that is connected to their age. And it only gets more important as they get older.
Yeah.
So thinking through what your kids need and then prayerfully looking for ways that you can meet those needs while you're back, because we have more opportunities here. Number two. So the first one is evaluate yourself, mm-hmm. know what you need.
Yep.
Second one
is to plan out your priorities beforehand. I think that we've counseled people a lot on this because we received this counsel actually as we were going back for our first stateside, is to say, just try as much as you can to try to block out and sort of schedule out your stateside time. Again, being very intentional and proactive about that, thinking through things like, you know, we want to really spend a lot of time with family. We really want to connect with these particular church partners, maybe some other things that you're focusing on. Some people will use stateside to get further theological education, all of that. We just say, be intentional and proactive about that, keeping in mind kind of the first tip that these are the things that I perceive about myself and about my family that we need to address. Because what happens, again, I think, is sometimes people can just become overscheduled and over busy, and that you're not actually taking the time that you need to get that rest in the restoration or to get that family time, whatever it is. So
yep.
We have counseled people to make sure that you have at least like one kind of weekend block every month that you're back that you schedule as this is time for just our family or for restoration or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, even doing what we do, a lot of our weekends start getting taken up because we're speaking in churches,
right.
reconnecting. I mean, if we're not careful, we would be speaking in, you know, Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and all Sundays at church all the time. And so just the wisdom of saying, hey, this is a block that we have scheduled. This is just for us. If people contact us and say, hey, can you come speak at church? Say, no, you know, I have something scheduled at that time. Yep. So just being very intentional about that to guard that as well.
Yeah. If you are physically unhealthy, that should be a priority. Get medical care that you can't normally get. If your kids have developmental needs, this is your chance to get therapy. This is your chance to put them in sports. That's putting our kids in sports is one of our biggest priorities this stateside.
Mm-hmm.
It was very important to our kids what they're getting here in America. They don't normally get that kind of sports in America and in India. So we're putting a lot of time into that, mm-hmm. and feel like we need to do that for our kids at this age. Our first stateside, we were in intense grief over the loss of our first child. And that was a big part of our stateside was emotionally healing. You had a back surgery and one stateside.
Don't tell anybody about that.
Anyway, sorry. So
forget you heard that.
If you're married, your marriage needs to be a priority on your stateside. Mm-hmm. Get a marriage retreat, get some date nights, take advantage of grandparents, just
take advantage.
Seize the opportunity, block out those times.
Mm-hmm. The next tip is to obviously seize the opportunity to be more accessible to your church, to your other partner churches. You're there, you're nearby. Speak at the churches, go and meet with the pastors, go and meet with mission teams. Just serve, man. Serve the body, serve the kingdom while you're back. Mm-hmm. It is a great opportunity to do that and to celebrate together what the Lord has done. I think that's one of the sweetest things that we get to do, especially with church partners that have been over and that know some of the people that we're talking about, know some of our national partners, know some of our team members. We're able to come back and to give a report and to tell what the Lord has done, man, and just celebrate together.
Yeah.
I think that sense of like family, that sense of unity around the mission that comes from that, that is really gratifying. I think that that's probably a sense of what Paul and Barnabas had when they came back to Antioch and they were able to say, man, look what the Lord has done. He used us in these ways for them to tell those stories and highlight just God's work and his saving power.
God often uses that to remind us how much we love our calling and to stir up that zeal and that excitement and that conviction that, yes, this is worth it and this is the right thing for us to do with our lives. And wow, look at all the ways God is using us. We're not wasting our lives.
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful for that. And it is a responsibility I think we have. It's part of our job description, actually.
Sure.
So whether you like it or not, it's pretty important as a missionary to take these opportunities, because if people are giving you money, praying for you, supporting you, then they need to know what we're doing.
Right.
And we need to be held accountable.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, like we talked about earlier, to be investing in those relationships as well, to not only come back and to be celebrating, but to be investing proactively to say, hey, how can I help shape the further missions for you guys? How can we help put together? We've been having discussions here even since we've been back of, how do we help local churches in our area to create pipelines for sending, to raise up and send out potential workers to go to the nations?
Yeah. So you're bleeding into our last tip, which is to look for ways to serve others and to be a blessing. My honest confession is our first couple months back, I really wasn't thinking about this very much because I really didn't feel like I had a lot to give. And I noticed that in myself. I mean, I already mentioned it. I could tell I wasn't really myself. And we had a lot of time outside and a lot of family time. And God has restored me so much already. It's amazing what 2 months can do. So now I feel excited about serving.
Yeah.
Now I like talking to people about evangelism, like talking to other Christians about it. I want to tell people about our mission work. Mm-hmm. I find myself bringing it up at random places, not just churches, you know, at the doctor's office or at the hair salon or wherever, because it's an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And our first couple of months back, I also was not sharing the gospel very often, and I feel the Lord restoring that and reminding me it's fun to talk to people, and we have good news.
Yep.
And I guess that is just an example of the need for all of these tips we just shared, that you need to know how you're doing and notice when you're not healthy. That's not healthy to not want to talk to people. And so you need to have your priorities and be moving towards health and being able to be a blessing to others and having that desire where you want to host a missions night.
Right.
You want to share the gospel. You want to help teach other women how to share the gospel.
Yeah.
And
your family as well. You have written here notes that help your mom can green beans. I love it.
Yeah.
That's what we do. You know, put our kids to work. Help
mow
shuck
the
corn,
yard. You've been mowing your parents' yard.
Yeah.
And you need
to
go.
I wanted to make sure that got highlighted.
Good job.
That I mowed their yard. It's a really big.
You.
It's ridiculously large.
We're sweating.
The amount of acreage that they mow.
Your mom's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So doing some farm work.
Yeah. Which is also restorative, but also just a blessing.
Yeah.
I think maybe we could sum this up with seek enjoyment while you're back. Let the Lord restore in your heart a zeal for life, for following Him, for the calling that we've been given, for the incredible blessings that you have and family and things like that. Maybe even to look back at what we've been talking about on the state side. I think we focused a lot on self-care and restoration and you're sort of
struggling. Are people judging
struggling.
Us for being too self-centered, do you think?
That's not my concern. My concern is, it's more man, what an incredible privilege that we have to do the work that we do overseas. Yes, it is hard.
Yeah.
And yes, we feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we've intentionally focused on sort of one aspect where we have this time to restore because it is kind of so difficult, but also just to see the incredible gift that a stateside is because it allows us to continue doing what the Lord has called us to do.
Amen.
And in the midst of that, to even enjoy still some of that goodness and that grace while we're here also. So just want to kind of celebrate and highlight that. Yes, there's wisdom and I think there's some sobriety that we should carry into a stateside to say, hey, we do need to care for ourselves. We do need to recognize that you have said this a lot since we've been back of it's okay to feel tired from doing the Lord's work. And I think that's such a good, just simple
We could have not done it and we wouldn't be so tired.
We could have not done the work.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
People expect you to be tired after doing hard work, right? That's not crazy. That's okay. It's okay to need to rest.
And it doesn't mean that you don't enjoy doing that work. It doesn't mean that we don't want to return to it. It doesn't mean that it doesn't satisfy our souls because it does.
Right.
But just to recognize that, man, it's okay to need rest when you're doing the Lord's work and pouring yourself out like that.
That's right.
So that's not an excuse to do whatever you want and take whatever kind of liberties that you want because you feel like you've earned it or whatever. We haven't earned anything before God by doing the work that we do.
Right.
But just to recognize that we're people and we are dust and we need rest and He's good to give us that.
Yeah. I mean, it's extremely important for every believer to be healthy because no matter what your job is, God wants to use you in your job, right? So whether you're a lawyer or a school teacher or a missionary, we all need to be healthy and fervent and prayed up and see God's purposes for what we're doing every day. Additionally, our work, you cannot do it if your heart's not in it. It won't go
not
well.
Not for long, yeah.
And so now that there's a certain truth to that to every job because we all need to be ministers of the gospel in our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But there is maybe a little easier to do an accountant's work if your heart's not in it. You can still compute the numbers. You can still fill it all out, make the tax returns. But
we're going to get an email about that.
I know. That's why I gave lots of disclaimers. But I'm just saying, if you don't want to be a missionary, don't return to the field.
Yeah.
Because your heart needs to be in it.
Yeah.
The good news is God promises. 1 Peter 5:10, he himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And so
say that.
That's what he's doing for us. I feel it day by day, and I'm really thankful. And I want to serve him for years and years.
Yeah.
Stateside is a gift.
No doubt. We're grateful for it.
Yes.
Yeah. Thankful that he is doing that work, he himself.
What's your favorite little tiny worldly pleasure about Stateside?
What?
Just real quick.
My favorite one? Oh, easy. Quick Trip. Convenience stores.
Yeah, you do.
I can't hardly pass one without stopping.
I know. If you look at our credit card bill, it's like
you don't need to bring that
$5, $5, $5.
Is it? Maybe a little bit more. Don't talk about it. What's yours? You just put me out.
Shoot.
Oh, I don't have one. I have to think so hard because I'm so holy. Say it or I'll name it for you.
Name it. What is it? Tell me.
Do you have one?
No, I want to hear what you think it is.
I don't have one. I was just trying to put pressure on you.
I mean, I put Target and Beef in our notes.
Oh, yeah. That's...
But honestly, I haven't even been to Target very much.
That was more like when we first got here.
I don't actually go there. But
it's the online shopping.
Yeah, probably. I do like Amazon.com as opposed to Amazon.in. I think my favorite thing, and this feels like a Jesus juke after I said you said Quick Trip, though, is...
Oh my God.
The outdoor time. Oh my goodness. The sunrises and sunsets and the walks, the neighborhood walks. Our neighborhood is so pleasant to walk.
I thought you were going to say like long quiet times or something. That would have made me.
No, I do that in India too, babe.
Oh. All right. Thanks, folks.